I'm out of here. When the rapture takes place, I'm going to see Jesus, okay? So I'm not concerned about the rapture. I am concerned about your soul, though, and I hope that you have trusted Christ as your Savior. But let's look at some things here about the cost of our Christian nation. Now, to some, this might be boring. All right. It's not to me. All right. We just give you some information, but I want us to appreciate, our country today. I appreciate every soldier, every man, woman that has served, and I appreciate all that. I appreciate, the freedom. I appreciate what the Lord has allowed us to have. And, I appreciate our flag. I appreciate what it stands for. I've listened to the interviews of college kids, present college kids that don't know how many stars is on a flag, that don't know how many stripes, what the stripes stand for. I'm not going to ask you this morning, but I would be probably pretty close to saying that there's many of you. You may know how many stars, but you don't know what the stripes mean. You don't know what the field of blue mean. I would be persuaded in my mind and my heart that everybody don't know that. Even though we may be patriotic. You know, that many don't know that you don't just hang a flag any old way. Many don't know that you don't dispose of a flag. You don't just ball it up and throw it in the trash can. Many don't know that there's actually rules laid out on how you're supposed to care for the flag. Distinct rule. So it means something. It means something. Trista was telling me a while ago, we was talking about the movie, The Patriot. And one of the greatest scenes is one of the battles that was fought that was people don't even know it was displaying the Cowpens battle there in The Patriot in that movie. And Mel Gibson is grabbing the flag and saying, hold the line. There was people that done these things. There was little boys that fought. Not old men. They was old men that fought, but they was little guys fought. Let's look at a little bit of history, can we? Is that all right to everybody? All right. Make sure. Can y'all see that well? Yes. Talk to me. Can y'all see that okay? Let's look at some things. All right. I ain't clicking, guys. Click me. Can you click it? Psalms 33:12. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that God blesses a nation who puts him first. He blesses a person, but he blesses a nation. All right? And he has done that very thing. He has blessed our nation. You believe that? I believe he's blessed our nation. And I believe it's because of the way it was founded. All right? All right, click me, guys. You went too far. There we go. The Pilgrims on the Mayflower and the Puritans, when our country started way before the Revolutionary War, sought to establish their own Christian communities and without interference from the Church of England. So they come to the new country because they was persecuted for being a Christian. They didn't have the freedom to be the Christian. Because they was bound by the Church of England. They say that Cortez tried to find the new country for gold, but the Mayflower guys and the Puritans, they come to find God. And there's a big difference there. All right? And there's still people looking for gold when they ought to be looking for God. All right? But that's how things started. Well, things got worse. All right? Click, guys. Next, please. British rule then still governed. And as our country grew, so grew the British government. All right? Or their control, I should say. Taxes. And we all We're all still paying too much, all right? I think we got British rule again. We got taxes, laws, demands on the people without any representation of the people. People had no say. The people had no freedom. Now, we will make remarks that we are not free, but we are free. We are free. Now, I know I'm very sarcastic because I get aggravated at the corruptness of our country. So I become very, very sarcastic. But if you've never been to another country, you don't understand what freedom you have.
Right.
You don't have a clue. I've done been even to what is considered a free country, to where they have the guards at the grocery store with M16s. They're on the street. When I was in the Philippines is supposed to be a good place to go. You know, it's not supposed to be the persecuted, but can I tell you, they cut their power off to control you. They cut their water off to control them. They have the guards at the stores, and they say they're free. But they're not. We are. We're free. But that's what was going on, and we know that. I don't know what you're taught today, all right, but that's what was taught. All right, next. The revolution then was decided, if you would. The Declaration of Independence was written and signed, and then our country become a constitutional republic. It did not become a democracy. It would become a constitutional republic. Democracy will kill you. Democracy robs you of your rights. All right? Everybody understand that? Democracy, because it's the majority rule in a democracy, whether it's right or wrong. You have no rights in a democracy. Because if enough people say you can't have that, they come and take your house. They come and take your car. They take your shoes. They just take whatever they want to. Yeah. If enough people say yes. But a constitutional republic has laws, and our constitution is there, not with laws, but it's for the sign that we are protected by the law.
Amen.
That's what the constitutional republic is set aside for. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Think about that. It's not just a democracy, a constitutional republic. That's a vast difference, all right? Where we can go where we want, when we want, without papers. Where we can buy or sell or trade as we want to, without permission or without anything. And we can say what we want. We have freedom of speech. We have these freedoms. That's in a constitutional republic.
Yeah.
See, a democracy will vote that I can't say.
Amen.
A democracy will vote that I can't go there. A democracy will vote that I can't buy or sell, but not a constitutional republic. That gives me my rights. Everybody understand that? And that's never changed. We've let things change, but we're still a constitutional republic. We still are. Next, please. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence, and this is what they gave up to be free men. All right, 56 men signed this, all right? The youngest was 26. The oldest was 70, all right? Ben Franklin was the oldest one to sign it. He was 70 years old at the time. And I can't think of the guy's name now. It was the youngest. He was 26. But that's it wasn't just all old men. The average signer was in their 40s. All right, 30s and 40s. So let's give me the next one. When these 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence, this is what they pledged. Now, they pledged our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's what they pledged when they signed that. As men of wealth, education, social standing, they gave up their security, risking treason charges, property confiscation, and even death to establish an independent nation. They were not just going to a party. They drawn up this. This document was given to the king in England. These are our names. We want to make sure you see who it is. We're signing this. We're the representatives of the 13 colonies or states, however you want to call them. And this is what they signed. Now, they knew they was going to be hunted. And can I tell you, they become on the hit list of England.
Yes, they did.
All right? These men did. Next, please. 17 signers lost their homes, all their properties and their fortunes. The British Navy swept ships out to sea for merchants like Carter Braxton, while others saw their estates burned or looted by British soldiers. Many spent their own wealth then to fund the Continental Army, and they died broke. They give every cent they had to support the army.
That's right.
All right? There weren't no army. There weren't no military. There weren't no Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, all that, Coast Guard. There weren't that. It was farmers, and it was school teachers and preachers,
yeah,
and accountants, and it was every walk of life. All right? It was us.
Yeah.
It was people like us.
Yeah.
All right? Everybody understand it? Give me the next one. 12 of the signers fought in the battles and as members of the state's militias. 5 were captured and imprisoned during the whole war. 9 died from wounds, disease, or extreme hardships related to the war. 17 lost their property as a result of British raids, and 5 lost their fortunes. They lost every dime they had. All right, lost it all. Just that you could sit in church this morning.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
Right? Just that you could go to work where you choose to go to work.
Yes.
Just so you could carry a Bible in your hand. Just so you could, if you want to or if you don't want to.
Yeah.
That was what was fought for. Okay? Give me the next one, please. The age of what we would call our founding fathers was from 9 years old. Andrew Jackson, everybody knew who Andrew Jackson was, or should anyway. He was 9 years old during this time. All right. And to the oldest was Samuel Whitmore. He was 81. All right. That's who are considered our founding fathers. All right. Many were teenagers. Most were under 45 years old. Can you imagine today's teenagers? I mean, I'm not. Now, listen to me. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying the reason teenagers are the way they are because of their parents. But can you imagine today? A 13-year-old traveling without food or water for 3 or 4 days to go kill somebody that's taking their freedom. It just burnt their house down. Can you imagine having the responsibility to sign their name on a document that they would give their life to protect somebody they didn't know? It'd be hard-pressed to find a 50-year-old today that would do that.
Yeah.
Let's look again. Next. Battles we as Americans have never heard of or forgot. See, we don't teach what we ought to be taught.
Amen. That's right.
All right. If we're not taught history, then we're going to repeat them things.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, some of us have heard of Pearl Harbor. Anybody here heard of Pearl Harbor? Midway, Iwo Jima. All right, there were some things, but not everybody. Because we don't have it on the news no more, Pearl Harbor Day. We don't use it much. All right, Midway. Well, that's not down below Charleston. Even though there is a Midway down there. There was another Midway. All right. Did anybody know anything about? Now that's just in our day. That's in World War II. You know, that was a naval battle where 4 aircraft carriers of Japan was sunk. And had they not been sunk, we'd either be goose stepping or we'd all be eating rice every day.
Amen.
All right.
Right.
Think about that. But these are things that we may remember these. But here's some things I bet we don't know. Lexington. The Battle of Lexington. Huh? In the United States. These are battles on the United States. Concord. The Battle of Concord. Huh? The Battle of Bunker Hill. Huh? How about Saratoga? Anybody heard of these battles? Raise your hand if you've heard of these battles. All right? More than I thought. Kings Mountain. Huh? Kings Mountain. How about the Cowpens? That's, we just mentioned that. And of course Yorktown, right? Do you know before there was ever a Marine, and Thomas Jefferson, as they started the Marine Corps, just so you'll know, they call them leathernecks. They done that because of Somalia and the swords. They put leather on their necks to keep the swords from cutting their heads off. And when they fought them, just in case you wondered why they call him a leatherneck. All right. But before there was a Marine, before there was an airborne ranger, before there was a Navy SEAL, there was Washingtons and mortals. Anybody here ever hear of the Washington, George Washington's immortals? Huh? There were 400 of them, all right, that were sharp-shooting farmers, squirrel hunters, deer hunters. And he gathered up 400 of them to save the army time that they could regroup and but that's what they were called, Washington's immortals. Was you taught that in school? You know why? Because, well, that would be too rough. We couldn't say that. But that's what, but that is our history. That is why we are what we are today. And I just wanted to, I'm thankful for our country. Is that okay that we can do this? All right. Give me the next one. The population at this time during the Revolutionary War was about 2.5 million people in 13 states. Now over 25,000 died, Americans died in the Revolutionary War. Yeah. All right? That's more than Nicholas County's population. Can you think of that? If everybody in the county died for our freedom, 13 states, they weren't but 13 states, And the whole county, that'd be the whole county wiped out. That'd be a pile of people, wouldn't it? Huh? So I just try to give you that in your mind, okay? Give me the next one. Now, these men and women fought, sacrificed, bled, and died, and watched their homes burned. Can you imagine being pulled out of your home and them set it afar, and you have to stand there and watch it? Anything you can do to stop it? Huh? If you do the key. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? It's one thing to lose your home. But it's one thing to stand there and watch them do it. Huh? All because you wouldn't bow down to the King of England.
Yeah.
And what was bad is your neighbor may have sold you out. Your brother may have sold you out. Your uncle may have sold you out and said that you were not loyal to the king. And they come to your house and burnt you out. Wouldn't that be tough? It'd be tough at family reunion after that, wouldn't it? For 8 years, that's how long the war was. See, it wasn't just a year. You know, World War II wasn't the 4.5. All right? Well, World War I was like, 3.5? But the Revolutionary War was a little better than 8 years. Can you imagine constant war in our country? Huh? See, we don't realize the price that is paid for our freedom. Mm-hmm. All right. Give me the next one. Famous quotes. These are famous quotes of the beginning of our country. And these are some truths that was stated. This shows some dedication and it shows some things we better think about. Let's look at the first one here. George Washington said this, "We better guard against the imposters of pretended patriotism."
Yeah.
We better guard against the pretenders, the imposters of pretended patriotism. John Adams said this, is this not true? "Liberty once lost is lost forever." We better pay attention to what we have. I've heard John Johnson stand and say this many times in testimony about our church. We better guard what we have at church. Hey, we better guard what we have in our country. We're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. Okay? Now, some of us, and y'all, a lot of y'all is older than I am, we're not too worried about them. They're not going to do so much. We're out of here. But what about my grandkids?
Right. Right.
What about my grandkids?
That's right.
Huh? I had them boys here last week. What about little Wesley?
Yeah.
What about him? I couldn't imagine Levi and Micah and Wesley going to war to go to church. Couldn't imagine that. Huh? Let's look at another one. Patrick Henry said this, is life so dear or peace so sweet as we purchased at the price of change in slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Boy, that ought to be the patriotism that's inside of us. That ought to be the backbone, guys. Huh? That ought to be when we see a flag, we ought to walk a little straighter. When we see a soldier, we ought to shake her hand and buy their lunch. I mean, when we see the things that we ought to be patriotic about, man, we ought to just bow up in the chest. Let her teach her kids to bow up in the chest and thank God for what we have. Huh? Huh? Should be another one. I only regret that I have but only one life to lose for my country. Huh? Wish I could die a bunch of times. I'm just sad I can't die but once. Huh? That's deep, ain't it? I'm sad I can't die but one time. All right. I think it might be it. No, 7 of the first 13 states, listen to this now, 7 of the first 13 states required a profession of faith in Jesus Christ to hold public office. Did you know that? Think about that. They required it. We started as a Christian nation. Let me look at the next one. All 50, now this, listen to me. All 50 states today, all 50 state constitutions refers to God as understood by the writers as a creator Christian God.
Yes.
Yeah, we are a Christian nation. We just backslid is the problem. Huh? We are a Christian nation. There should be another. West Virginia, 1872, the preamble says, since through divine providence we enjoy the blessings of civil, political, and religious liberty, we, the people of West Virginia, reaffirm our faith in and constant reliance upon God. That's right down in our Constitution for a state. That's pretty good, ain't it? I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I'm a West Virginian, huh? Hillbilly may be okay after all. What do you think? That's all right? Okay. Historically, now listen, this price has been paid in the form of service, sacrifice, and the blood of over 1 million fallen military service members since the nation's founding. Every granite headstone across the country represents a life laid down to secure these rights. Ultimately, the daily cost of our freedom, listen to me, is our own personal responsibility to protect these rights for future generations. We're one generation away from losing it. That's what Ronald Reagan said. We're one generation away from losing it. So, I think we ought to be an American.
Amen.
All right? Now, half of y'all is Americans, half of y'all is Christians, it looks like. We got the flags up here, but no, I think we all ought to be thankful. All right? I think that's the last one, ain't it, guys? The next one, so I think, should start for the message. We have forgotten the cost of our freedom. Let's stand together. Can we stand together? Okay, Trista. Can we sing together?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars we watched were so gallant. streaming.
Seated, if you would. Trisha's going to sing again here. I believe we know this very well. This ought to be our prayer. Is because of Calvary, though.
Yes,
we wouldn't have nothing without the Lord. We can't be founded on God if we didn't have a Savior. So now we get back now. We're not going to quit being a patriot. We're going to get back to the Christian now. Trish is going to sing again, and we're going to give you just a little message this morning. I want you to think about what she sings now. Now, I'm free this morning. I'm free because of Jesus Christ. I once was bound in sin. I was bound. I was a prisoner. But He made me free. He didn't just set me free. He made me free this morning. All right. Sing, Tris.
Mm-hmm.
a lady with a torch raised to the sky.
Freedom there. The cross is our freedom this morning. That's it. Turn with us to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I want you to listen. Now we're going to get right back into where we have been in several weeks. Now we're talking about the cost of our nation. Now we're going to look at the cost of a Christian home. And it all comes right together because that's why our nation was founded. Our nation was founded that we could worship God. It wasn't that we could find gold. It was that we could worship God. And the importance of what these men and women sacrificed was that their homes could be Christian. But it cost something. And we try to give you some highlights. But it's going to cost you to have a Christian home this morning. Now everybody don't have a Christian home. Everybody that's saved don't have a Christian home. Just because you're saved don't mean you have a Christian home. There are many people that's gonna go to heaven because they've received Christ as their Savior. But things is not good what they've left behind. We want you to think about that. Look in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Go ahead, guys. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Says, "For which of you..." Now this is Jesus speaking here. He said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" Ain't nobody going to build something without looking to see what it's going to cost them to build it. You're going to look about that. You're going to check prices. You're going to check contractors. You're going to check these things. Now we've been talking about the foundation. I want to tell you this morning that a Christian home, there's a foundation been laid. If you're saved this morning, then the foundation has been laid. Now it's going to be up to you to build a Christian home. We need more this morning than a saved home. More than just saved souls. No, we need some Christian homes. We need some Christian moms and dads that'll raise Christian children. We need some Christian papas and mamas that's going to be the example for Christian grandchildren. Yes. We need that. And it can go further to siblings and neighbors and all that, but we better concentrate a little bit on the home. For so go the home, so go the church. So go the home, so go the country. Now that's true this morning, but it's going to cost something to have a Christian home. Now, the thing is whether or not you're willing to pay it. Whether or not you're willing to pay the cost. Now, let's read that scripture just once again. It says, "For which of you intending to build a tower, set not down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it." Now, if you're saved this morning, you started the building. You started it. Now, are you willing to finish it? Are you willing to finish it? Let me ask you this. Is your children worth it?
Absolutely.
Is your children worth having a Christian home? Talk to me this morning. Is your children worth having a Christian home? Is your grandchildren worth having a Christian home? Are they worth it?
Yes, sir.
What would you rather be? Would you rather be some kind of heathen?
Right.
Worshiping a false god or no god?
No.
Which would be the same. Or would you rather serve the Lord God? Not just say they're saved. See, sometimes we get satisfied that they're saved. And we feel like the pressure's off of us. All right, they're saved, going to heaven. But yet, there's never no evidence of nothing. There's never no life of being with Christ. And it's almost being saved with a wasted life. I believe we need Christian homes. But we're not going to have Christian homes if mom and dad's not Christian. If husband and wife are not Christian, we're not going to have a Christian home. We're going to have to make sure that some things are done. So let's look at some things that we're going to have to pay. Alright? That we're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay to have a Christian home. Can we look at the first one? We see three things here together, alright? There's going to have to be first a desire. All right, you got saved. Let's say you're saved this morning. Now, I'm persuaded that all of you is not. I'm persuaded that there's some this morning that do not know Christ as their Savior. You think that you're good enough. You think that you've got it all figured out. But I want you to listen carefully. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, now that's not a wafer communion. That's not a cup of juice at a Catholic ceremony.
No.
If you've never repented of your sins, turn from the way you was going to receive Christ as your Savior, you're lost. You may be wonderfully moral. You say, well, I don't believe that. Then you're lost. That's what I'm telling you. That's why you're lost. Because you won't believe that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Marvel not, ye must be born again. All right? That's how you're saved. Now, if you're saved, if you're truly saved, then there should be a desire in your heart to have a Christian home, that nothing else matters. There ought to be a desire in your heart. That ought to be the first desire in your heart. Now, we're taught that our first desire ought to be to make a living, to provide. But can I tell you, if you don't provide for your home eternally, then you're not providing. It ain't money that's going to help them, but it's Christ that's going to help them. Sure, there needs to be a desire. But to do that, you're going to have to make a decision. Joshua, in the verses we've been reading every Sunday morning, Joshua 24:15, it plainly says that Joshua made a decision, and he said, he asked the people, he said, you choose you this day whom you will serve. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There needs to be a decision made from every husband in this church this morning, from every wife in this church this morning, from every mom, every dad, every papa, every mama, that you're going to decide to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. That you're going to have a Christian home. Yes. I can't decide that for you. I can preach to you, I can teach you, I can show you, I can give you example, I can tell you what you shouldn't do, what you should do, but you alone have to make that decision, huh? And then it's not just going to be a desire and a decision, you're going to have to be determined to do it. Huh? You have to be determined. It's going to take something out of you. It's going to take some dedication on your part. It's going to take some sacrificing on your part. I'm not talking about going to heaven now. I'm talking about having a Christian home. There's a difference. All right? Works don't save you. Works don't keep you. But after you get saved, there ought to be something come along. All right? There's going to be some determination. Now, you're determined over other things. You set priorities. Every home here has priorities. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Everybody here has things that you will do, you won't do.
Yeah.
But are you determined to have a Christian home? Are you determined to have one, let everybody else do what they want to do? Huh? But it's for me and my house. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not just going to put a dove or a fish on our car.
Yeah. Right.
We're not going to put a bumper sticker and say, honk if you love Jesus.
Right.
We're not going to put a cross on our mirror. No, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Huh? That's what it's going to cost you to do that. That don't come easy. What's next? You're going to have Christ as a center. That don't mean, well, we're going to mention Christ. No, he's going to have to be the center. To have a Christian home. Now, I'm not talking about you being saved this morning. I'm talking about you having a Christian home. Does everybody follow me this morning?
Yeah.
If you're going to have a Christian home, Christ is going to have to be the center of that home.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to ask you if you have one. I'm going to ask you if you want one. Do you want a Christian home? If you want a Christian home, Christ has to be the center. Now, if he's not the center, you may have a home that goes to church, but that don't mean you got a Christian home. See, we're going to have to come back down and make it as narrow as it is. Huh? Christ is going to have to be the center. There's going to have to be an atmosphere of love in the home. What I find with dealing with children and the young people all these years, I found the one thing, most 99% of children will tell you the truth. if you ask them. All right? But I tell you what 100% are wanting. They're wanting love. 100% of the children want love. And can I tell you, they show it to Sunday school teachers. They show it to school teachers. They'll try to get it from them because they don't have it down at the house. And that's why a lot of them go to strangers. Because they're enticed because they're looking for love. Because they ain't got it down at the house. Are you listening to me? You say, well, I'm a saved. Yeah. Is there an atmosphere of love? The Bible says that God is love. Somewhere there ought to be some attributes of where He's inside comes out in us. Somewhere. Huh? Enough of this that we always go to the world. We'll gladly show forth our worldly traits. How come we can't show forth our Christian traits? Huh? Are we okay? Think about it. Christ is a sinner. This is the price you're going to have. It's going to cost you something to do that. For Christ, that means you're going to have to consult with Him your decisions. That means you're going to get permission from Him to do what you want to do, go where you want to go, and live like you want to live. Somewhere you're going. If He's a sinner, then everything's got to revolve around Him. Huh? Are we still okay?
Yes.
Atmosphere of love? I'll be that ought to be just something you say. There, I'll be an atmosphere of love.
Right.
Huh? Right. Have you ever visited somebody and you walk in on something and it wasn't love? You can just feel it in the air. Talk to me if you know what I'm talking about. You ever went somewhere and walked in and said, "What am I interrupting here? Nobody said a word." But you could tell.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Ought not be that way in a Christian home.
Right.
Ought not be that way in a Christian home.
Right.
Maybe in a saved home, but it ought not be that way in a Christian home.
Right.
Can I tell you, it ain't going to be that way in a Christian home.
Amen.
No fuss and loud.
That's good.
Is that right, Brother Ray? No fussing loud.
Amen.
Sure, we can do better than Becky and Hope. Sure, we can do better than just them two saying, "Ain't no fussing loud." Ah, come on now.
Amen.
No fussing loud. Not in a Christian home. Huh? How about daily devotions? Now, I'm not just talking about reading your Bible. I'm talking about as a family. Let me ask you, husbands and wives, when's the last time you prayed together? I ask you when the last time you prayed. When's the last time you prayed together? Now, I'm as guilty as anybody else now. But when's the last time you prayed together? That has husband and wife, you grabbed one another's hands, and you prayed together about the things going off in your home. And around you. You say, "No, I pray." I didn't ask you if you prayed. I'm not asking if you're a Christian. I'm asking you, do you desire a Christian home?
Amen. That's good.
Because a Christian home prays together.
That's right.
And read your Bible together.
Yeah.
A Christian home does.
Yeah.
Now, a saved home can do a lot of things. A saved home might even let bad words slip out of their mouth. A saved home might gossip about their neighbor. A saved home might lay out of church for no reason. But now we're not talking about a saved home. We're talking about a Christian home.
Amen.
When's the last time that you went and said, "Honey, we got to pray. We got to pray. We've got so much, we don't pray about our needs no more."
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to pray about what we're going to eat. If we're going to eat, we got to pray what we're going to... If we pray, we pray about what we're going to choose. What do you want to eat today? You know what we say? We open the refrigerator and say, "Ain't nothing, looks good."
You're wrong. That's true.
Do Do you ever say that? You open the door, ain't nothing looks good today. Because there's so much there. Huh? Remember when we used to look? And y'all remember when we used to look and there weren't nothing there? It was just thankful that there was something there. Some of y'all have never done that. Some of y'all ain't never had to do that yet. Some of y'all ain't never had to get down and say, honey, we got the power bill next week and there ain't nothing in the bank account. Well, we better pray, hadn't we? Some's never done that because they've always had it. Some of us forgot we used to do it. We okay? Christ is a center, atmosphere of love, daily devotion. How about there's another one up there somewhere? How about biblical order? A biblical order. You know, you may have a saved home, you may even have a church home that goes to church, but you're never going to have a Christian home if you're out of order. Say what you want, believe what you want. I'm just telling you the truth. Believe if you don't want to. Matter not to me, but I'm just going to tell you what you ain't going to have. You ain't going to have a Christian home if you're out of order. Yeah. Husband, father is the leader. Husband and father are the spiritual leader. Not just the leader, but spiritual leader. If your home is not a Christian home, the responsibility goes back to dad, to the husband. Husband and father. The leader. The leader. The leader. The leader. The leader. The leader. That's Bible. That's Bible. Then the wife and the mother. You put that out of order, you don't have a Christian home, you got chaos.
Yeah. Amen. That's
right. Put it out of order, you got chaos.
Yes.
Get the children up front, you got confusion.
Yes.
You know? Put the children first when they're running everything. If the children run everything, then you go like a chicken with her head cut off. Don't know which way to go. But if a woman's up front, you got confusion. It causes confusion because it goes against everything in the Bible.
Yeah. You're right.
Now I'm talking if you want a Christian home.
Yeah.
You can have whatever home you want. Somewhere's got to be a decision.
Right. Yeah.
I was talking to a man here last week before last. I may have even told you. He was talking about this going on, that going on. I said, stop. You're going to have to make a decision to be a Christian or a heathen. You can't be both.
That's right.
And you can't have a Christian home in confusion. You can't do it.
Right.
You don't work that way. You're going to have to get back in order. Are we okay this morning? I'm just preaching to you about the cost of a Christian home. And you say, well, this is nothing. But how come we never pay the price? Husbands don't want to pay the price because they're controlled by their wife. Most wives control their husband with sex. Little affection, little attention.
You're right.
So men cave into it.
True.
I was going to tell you, the Bible plainly says, the Bible plainly says that wife, your body's not yours, and husband, your body's not yours. And you're not to defraud one another. It's talking about the sexual union in the home. Unless it be for a time when you're fasting and praying. It's what keeps husbands and wives faithful. It's what keeps husbands and wives faithful. We okay? But not control. Not control. Huh? Wife, if you control, if you try to control your husband, you will not have a Christian home. Read your Bible all you want. Say all you want. If you try to control your husband, you do not have a Christian home. I'm going to say that till we all are making sure we understand it. Now, you don't have to say amen. That means I agree. You can say, oh, that'll help. I'm just telling you, there was too much paid in our country to have a Christian nation for us to give away our Christian homes. Amen. But can I tell you, there was too much paid at Calvary for us not to go by what God said. We still okay. Children, order is husband, father, wife, mother, and children. Children don't make decisions. They don't even make decisions on what they eat. Huh?
Amen.
You let your child tell you what they're going to eat, and they'll run you before they're a teenager.
Amen.
They need to eat what's put before them and be thankful for. Huh? I know that's not today's time, but it's still true. We've got out of sorts. That's why we run ourselves to death today, is to please our children, and we leave God out of our home. Okay, let's look at the next one. All of this has to start with repenting of your sins and receiving Christ as your Savior. If it don't start there, you're never going to have a Christian home. Now, I think there should be one more. Ain't there one more? The cost of a Christian home. Our scripture says this. For which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Are you willing to pay the cost? You got enough in you? You got enough in you this morning to have a Christian home? Starts with desire. Don't raise your hand. I'm going to ask you, do you desire a Christian home? Do you desire a Christian home? Will you make a decision this morning to have a Christian home? Huh? I look back here. Trevor and Mallory's here this morning. That brand new little baby. That little chunk of a baby. Huh? I watched Trevor shaking his head yes to everything I said. You know why? I believe he desires him. Him and her have been waiting for this baby. They've been excited about this baby, and they wanting to raise this baby for the Lord. Already know it. Huh? I would to God that every husband in here say, I'm going to have a Christian home. I would to God that every wife in here say, I want to have a Christian home. I would to God that husbands and wives would get a hold of one another's hand and find them a place around this altar and say, God, help me to have a Christian home. And you say, well, my spouse ain't here. My spouse ain't saved. Then if you're a wife and your husband is not saved, the Bible says to be submissive to your husband, that they will, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. All right? So find you place around this altar and say, God, help me to have the right conversation at home, the right lifestyle, that I might win my husband to the Lord, that he'll see there's a difference in me. I want a Christian home. Husband, if your wife ain't saved, then you need to be as a Philippian jailer and see that the preaching comes to your home if necessary, that your house might be saved. There's scripture for both sides. Do you desire? That's where it's got to start. The first price that's paid was a desire for a Christian home, a desire for a Christian home, then a decision for a Christian home, and then the determination that you'll have a Christian home. You're going to have to do something with it. Yeah. And that's where we go back to this morning. Come on, Clark, let's sing. Cheryl, you're treated to the one. Jesus paid it all. That's where we got to start. We're going to have to go by what he's done for us. Huh? If we're going to have anything, it's going to be what he does. I'm asking this morning, what do you want this morning? The cost. Let's stand together right now. The cost of a Christian home. Huh? If you're not saved this morning, you ought to come and you ought to get saved. You ought to receive Christ as your Savior. You ought to come and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. That's what you need this morning. That's what you need. God help us. God help us. God help us this morning. The cost of a Christian home.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is known. Child of weakness, what can bring? Mind in me.
How about it, friend? You saved this morning. That's where we got to start. Are you saved this morning? If you're not saved, then come. Receive Christ today. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. If you are saved, do you want a Christian home? If you are saved, do you want that Christian home? You gotta make a decision. It may come to us free. See, I didn't pay for my freedom this morning in this country, but it didn't come free. It's a great cost, but I've been able to enjoy because of the price it was paid. Now, salvation's free. Didn't cost me a dime. All I had to do was believe it. But boy, it cost heaven all it had. It cost God to put on a robe of flesh, come in as his son, die on Calvary, shed his blood. Ain't that wonderful? I get to enjoy that freedom. And can I tell you that you having a Christian home ain't going to come free. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Might get right down where we live. Reckon? I believe. Be seated. We're going to have a baptism this morning. Wonderful. We'll have a baptism. So take your seat there just for a moment. Can I get some baptizing singing going on?